Welcome to the Social Media Church Podcast. I'm Neil Smith, and I am joined by longtime and regular guest, Kenny Jang. Kenny, welcome to the podcast. Kenny was actually the first ever guest on the Social Media Church Podcast about 4 years ago. I was number two, and now we are on the podcast.
Let's talk about number two. Let's just talk about number one. And here's a fun fact. I was also 100.
Number 100. Number one.
And a bunch of others.
And a bunch of others. So Kenny and I are good friends. We took like 2 years after that for us to even to meet. And then you convinced me to move to New York. And that's why people ask me why I moved to New York. Kenny is why.
I think I convinced you to move back to Texas. And then you came back because you could not resist.
And you could not resist me. You kicked me out, and now it's 20 degrees here, and I'm like, I can't get back to Texas fast enough. It's miserable today. So we are talking about Vlogmas. Before I do that, I do want to give everybody an update. Social Media Church Podcast, I've taken a little bit of a break. Unintentional, my world has gotten a little crazy.
Hashtag slacker.
Hashtag slacker.
In a content machine world, it's a slacking.
It is. This is a terrible model to make with the podcast, because consistency is key on social media, and I have made the number one mistake. This is coming after you guys, our viewership, our listenership, our downloads have almost doubled over the last 2 months, and then I disappear. I'm sorry. I'm apologizing. It's a mistake. I should have prioritized it.
Where's the beef?
It's right here, but I'm making up for it by having the meatiest podcast you guys have heard in a long time. I'm actually working on a I cannot talk about what's coming in 2018, but there is a unique partnership that is going to happen. We're going to do some exciting things in 2018 on this podcast that I will announce soon. So I want to tease that, but the biggest news is that Kenny is here and we are right in the middle of Vlogmas.
Yes, it is Vlogmas, Nils. Are you experiencing this? This is, you gotta get with it. Vlogmas 2017 is here.
Vlogmas 2017. This is how I was introduced to Vlogmas. I was on an elevator with Kenny, and our mutual friend, and I think Kenny's taking a selfie of us, and then he yells Vlogmas really loud, and we just thought.
On the elevator at the same time.
Yes, it's like, Kenny, you've lost it. Nothing new when you hang out with Kenny. And then I see that night I'm watching Facebook, and so we're in the middle of podcasting, and I'm getting a Vlogmas message right here in the middle of podcasting. So I watch this vlog called Vlogmas that Kenny does, and it captures my attention, and I haven't stopped watching every single day. I honestly, as I go to bed, I'm like, has Kenny posted his Vlogmas for the day yet? So I am obsessed with your Vlogmas. I'm not watching a whole lot of Vlogmas outside of you, Kenny. But Kenny, let's talk about first about what you're doing, and then I want to understand why you got into Vlogmas.
Yeah, Vlogmas is the best thing that's happened in 2017. Let me just tell you, as a practitioner, and also as a consumer of content, I am telling you, Vlogmas is the event of the year. And I say that wholeheartedly, especially as a practitioner, Nils, because one of the things that I've always said this past year, and we started, if you recall, let me just recall this battle of predictions that we had at the very beginning of 2017. You started with a blog post, and I think sharing a little bit about, no, was it a blog post or an actual episode? Talking about some of the predictions for 2017. We should actually pull that out.
Yeah, I'm going to pull it up while we're talking, Kenny.
Yeah, points as to who's the winner there. And so I came back with a rebuttal, predictions, blog post, video, slideshow, infographic, with an onslaught of content, because this is what we need to be doing in 2017. We need to be producing content that's native to different platforms and putting it out there, reaching people where they are with our message, right? And so that's what I did back then. And we're ending the year here with something that actually isn't new, Nils. Vlogmas is something that you probably actually know pretty well because you've been in the YouTube space this past year. You've entered into it wholeheartedly. But if you look on YouTube and just search for Vlogmas in the holiday season. It's been going on for a couple of years and it's been trending. I think it's peaking. And I decided to hop on the bandwagon after, I just vlogged about this in, I think day 11, where I share how I got inspired and started. Basically, my daughter, who's in 11th grade, has a friend in that grade, Andrew, who's been doing Vlogmas, and he's been quite the storyteller. You know, it is amazing how kids today have taken up media and creating content, and they've taken up storytelling pretty intuitively without learning it formally, right? They take drama class and take the English class, but they're not learning storytelling in the way we're used to telling stories in our culture today. That's through videos. And so some of these kids are doing it really well. Andrew happens to be doing really well. So my daughter Josie and I, every night, it's the same thing what you're saying. Hey, has Andrew put out his latest Vlogmas episode out yet? Has he vlogged today? Not. And so we'll be watching out every day for his latest installment. And so I decided very quickly to jump on the bandwagon and say, you know what, as a practitioner, as someone at, so harking back to the predictions, one of the predictions I said is 2017 is the year of video. This is the year when the mass market is going to start to embrace video, and that this content triangle, right? We have this content triangle that we talk about in those all the time, is at the very top, like 1% are content creators. And then there's like another 9-10% you can think about in the triangle that are content curators. And then the rest of the triangle pyramid is content consumers, right? And I'm saying that with 2017, there's an inflection point on the graph. The graph is going to change its shape because content curators are going to become content creators. They're going to be people that are opening up that top of the pyramid. The top of the pyramid is not going to be just 1%. It's going to become 2%, 3%. It's going to go larger and larger and larger. We're going to see the democratization of content creation. Vlogmas is one of them, right? We've got a couple of high school students now in my daughter's school that are creating video content every single day. And so that's what it is. Video is the new black. And I'm hopping on the bandwagon because as a practitioner, this is a different form of storytelling. Instagram stories, you and I were trying out Instagram Live today, right? So that type of medium is something we need to figure out as innovators. And so that's how it started. That's the long-winded version of, in my mind, what's going on. This is a fun novelty, it's quirky, but in reality, it's serious business for me to figure out this Vlogmas thing.
Kenny, I'm going to tell you for the first time maybe ever, you're right. You're right. That was long-winded. And so I had to put that out there. So you, fascinating. And I'm looking over our predictions or your predictions. I cannot find my predictions, but we're just going to assume that mine are correct.
They haven't come true. Is that what's going on? Censorship of the internet?
I'll let you look for mine. I don't know what happened to them or where they were. But you know, I think there's some interesting predictions here. You predicted actually that Snapchat will survive and win. I disagree with that still. But at the core,
check them out, right? They're innovating. They're still, hey, look, if you look at all the high school students and college students of today, they're using Snapchat.
They're not using Facebook.
They're not using email. They're not even texting anymore.
But is it winning? No. Does it have, and I think it depends on how you're defining winning. Is it surviving? Is it doing well? Yes. But I think there's no doubt Instagram stories has far surpassed in Snapchat from an engagement perspective and a mass audience perspective.
Instagram stories right now, in my metaphor, right? Facebook has become the new TV. TV has become radio, right?
Yes.
And I say, Instagram stories has now become cable TV.
We'll see. I don't know that I fully agree with that metaphor, but it is an interesting comparison. And we'll see. The other interesting prediction is that we both agree on is that Twitter is in trouble, and their one innovation this year was basically to go from 140 characters to 280. That's not going to save you at Twitter. I want to say that publicly.
We both love Twitter. You and I are avid diehard. We don't want Twitter to die. We don't want it to lose. Yeah. We want Twitter to win.
Yeah, we do. We, I, I'm
tons of people like that. But we have so many people out there in the social media universe that are rooting for Twitter.
Yes.
And yet somehow internally, I personally think it must be culture, top down, sideways. There's got to be something that's broken in terms of a culture of innovation, a culture of forward future pacing inside that company.
Probably. And that hurts me because I'm a big Jack Dorsey fan, but you might be right. So video is core to this. Video is core to Vlogmas. Video has been core to both of our focus as we look at 2017. I would say video, as we even look to 2018, and I want to make some predictions here on this podcast. I think video is going to be core to 2018. This is the rise of video, and this isn't new. This isn't shocking. But this was a big year for video. I had so you mentioned earlier, I went all in on vlogging this year with YouTube, and learned a ton. If I look at what I'm really going to continue to invest in 2018, YouTube is the platform that I'm going to prioritize. I think Instagram will continue to gain a popularity. I'm going to be focused there. My primary focus will be YouTube from a development standpoint. At least right now, that's where my attention is. I put out one of my vlogs is that Instagram is the micro vlog. And so where I'm vlogging on YouTube, I'm micro vlogging on Instagram. And I kind of feel like what you're doing, I'd love for you to speak to your workflow. What you're doing, on Facebook is almost like an in-between a vlog and a micro vlog. So in between what I'm doing on Instagram and YouTube, can you maybe talk through your workflow, what you're using, how you're creating it? Because it just seems overwhelming to people of how do I capture, edit, and distribute video daily?
Yeah. So, let me hold up my shiny new iPhone 10, which actually is not the requirement. I think it's just any smartphone. You really don't need the 10 of the latest. We are innovation snobs, the ones, let's just put it out there, that need to carry the AirPods and the iPhone 10s, et cetera. It's nice to have. It definitely has better quality and more functionality. But what I want to say is anyone watching this today can start on the video bandwagon. It's very easy. And so I've gotten to the point where all of my blogging is done on my mobile phone. All of my video work is done on the mobile phone. There was a point where I was watching Sean, YouTube
channel. Right? Yep.
He's big on trying to get the church world into YouTube. Yep. And one of the things I follow with him, he does great reviews of equipment. I've been watching his reviews. He's been telling me to basically say, look at the Canon SL2 as the entry level best, the intersection of all the variables that you want to optimize. I've been looking at the Canon SL2. So it takes $600-700 to get it. I've been holding off because you know what? I'm finding that all I need is my mobile phone and people don't know the difference. And honestly, at the end of the day, it's not about the excellence of the form factor. It's the excellence of the story. Hmm. It's not the excellence of the form factor. People, it's like when I go to the golf range, right? Everyone is worried about how expensive are the golf clubs that they have. And yet it's not about that. It's about your swing and who's swinging it. And so I think people get caught up on, I need this equipment. I need a DSLR. I need a lighting kit, et cetera. I think you and I can both agree. This is one thing we can agree on is that everyone watching has access to being able to participate in this video revolution. So my workflow is I capture clips on my phone throughout the day. And then the latest app that I've been using is Apple Clips. Clips is an app by Apple and it does everything all in one. And so I'll sit there and at the end of the day, it takes me about 20 minutes, I would say, to pull together an actual Vlogmas episode. Now, my episodes have actually been going long. They're about 2.5 to 3 minutes. Mm-hmm. And I've decided that I need to bring it down to 60 minutes or less for two reasons. One, attention span and storytelling needs to be shorter. Yep. Get in and out. Two, if I get to 60 seconds or less, I can then not just put it on YouTube and Facebook, but it can go onto Instagram and other places. Mm-hmm.
Good call. So right now, practically, you're using your iPhone to capture, are you editing within Clips or is it kind of doing it in real time? Because you're editing in Clips and then you're distributing to Facebook and YouTube or just Facebook? I've been watching on Facebook. So
Clips itself will allow me to upload directly to my YouTube account.
Okay. So
that's automatic right there.
Yep.
And then actually what I do is I download it to my camera roll, a high def version.
Yep.
And then I upload it to Facebook using my Facebook app.
Yep.
And that way the video is native. It's not a YouTube link, et cetera. Okay. And then there's other places that, you know, I'll upload it to, either Vimeo or Wistia and some other places. But those, the YouTube and Facebook are my two core outlets. I have tried to put it on Instagram. There was one episode I did put on Instagram. It was too long. So what I just did is I used the trim tool in Instagram. Yep. So I posted it once. It was too long. I trimmed the back of it.
Yep.
And then I added a second one in the same post.
Yep.
And I trimmed the front of it to get to the same cutoff point.
Yeah.
So that when you swipe right, you can actually see a continuation of the same episode. What's interesting is on my followership, people commented more vocally that they saw that one episode on Instagram that they did on Facebook. Now, I know people are watching it on Facebook. I know there are lurkers and scrollers. Like, for instance, I've never seen, I don't think, have you commented on one of my episodes yet? Have you even commented, Nils? Or are you a Facebook lurker?
I'm a lurker. You just said that the buckets of people is, you have people that create and people that consume. I'm just consuming. I think there's another layer of those who then react. But I'm not reacting. Yes. I'm just consuming.
I know from the videos that people are watching and they're getting this. I know anecdotally that I'll meet up with people and they'll make comments about it. So I know people are watching, but people are not commenting on Facebook. On Instagram, they are. And on Instagram, they're more vocal that they saw me on Instagram for some reason. So I know there's more video views on Facebook, but for some reason, my Instagram following, my tribe on Instagram are much more vocal in terms of conversation.
Yeah. Yeah. Kenny, I want to resolve something though, while we're talking. I'm realizing that people, one, I don't think sarcasm probably comes through on a podcast as good as it does in person. And people probably think that I hate Jay, and people probably think that I hate you. And like, we're like really good friends. Now Jay. Yeah. I mean, I really don't like Jay. I mean, he's a Lakers fan. There are core personal issues that he has. But I'm a nice guy. For those that don't know me, I am friendly, and I'm friendly to my friends. I'm just sarcastic sometimes. So
that's why you moved back to New York. We've got two sarcastic New York, New Jersey guys running this video right now, and people need that disclaimer at the bottom of the screen.
Yeah. So okay. So we're getting practical though. I love the simplicity. I do want to plug another tool that I've used quite a bit in a former client, in Splice.
I use Splice all the time.
Yep.
And I'll tell you, one of the selling points of Splice right here is that over iMovie, over other applications that allow you to edit your video on the phone, one of the great things about Splice is that, one, it gives you a whole music library, audio tracks that you can put in royalty-free, so you don't need to search for, et cetera. Clips does that too. It's very limited, but Splice has a nice library of audio. Number two is their ability, the functionality of putting text over the video and moving it around instead of just like iMovie. It's templated. You can only put the text exactly where they want it, and that's it. Splice gives you tons of functionality on that, and that's what I love about it.
Yeah. So I'm a big fan of Splice. I love what you're doing with Clips. I think it's really interesting. And I think it's a great entry for a lot of church leaders to begin considering vlogging. I'm also sold on just the medium of vlogging. Kenny, I'm the guy that's always telling people, just go do it. Stop overthinking it. I overthought vlogging. I thought about vlogging for over a year before I even created one. I created about 10 before I ever even released one. And now I would be very embarrassed to release any of them that I created in those 10, but I needed to do it. I needed to at least create something. And what I love about you, Kenny, is you just do it. You rip the bandaid off and do it. And your vlogs are getting even more creative. So I want to walk through your creative process, but before that, I do want to just encourage church leaders to say, all you need is a mobile phone, you know, a smartphone, and you don't have to have the newest smartphone. I love that you say that. And Clips is a great place to start, or Splice, but I think Clips is even easier and Clips almost more creative, and it's free.
Church leaders all want free. It's free.
It's free.
You don't need documentation, right?
And it doesn't need to be long. I mean, I think that's the other thing you're communicating is you're actually probably going too long. So doing something consistently and short, I think, and personally, I think this is something that I would love to see every pastor in America start to vlog, because I think their church members would be fascinated to hear what they have to say throughout the day, different topics, different things, what they're doing. People care what you eat for breakfast. You know, I know people say, I don't care what you eat for breakfast. They actually do. People want to, does your pastor eat Wheaties or is he an eggs and bacon guy? They're curious. So I think people want to know. They
right
want to.
There could be a whole episode, right? That literally could be an episode that someone would say, you need to start your day right. It's about what type of person are you? I'm this person. Put two or three other personas and you let the people chime in. What type of person are you? Yeah. I guarantee you there'll be tons of engagement on that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. So a pastor that I've had the privilege of working with a little bit is Troy Gramling. And if you guys are looking for a pastor who has done some or some vlogging, he's, I think, done 100 episodes now on YouTube. And he's just done it, you know. And you look at episode 1 versus episode 90, they've gotten a lot better. But people, I'm going to assume that his church members feel even more connected to him than they ever did before. And I think a lot of people are finding their church by just putting content out there. And so he's been doing it for a while. But there's a lot of other pastors out there that I think you don't have to have a mega church. And I think you don't, I think the concern a lot of pastors, so maybe before we get to the creative process, I'd love for you to speak to this, Kenny, is a lot of pastors feel like they are making it about themselves by vlogging or by being on social media. What do you say to that? What do you say to a pastor that's like, I'm uncomfortable?
It's the humility objection, right? Like,
yes.
Oh, I don't want to be a celebrity. Oh, I don't want to draw attention to myself. It's all about the church and it's not about me. You know what? It's not about the church. It's not about you. It's about your people. And it's about their relationships. They want a relationship with a person. People have a relationship with you or your staff, not your church. People have relationships with people, not with institutions, right? We remember that all the time. We say that all the time. People have relationships with people, not institutions. And so by putting yourself out there, you're making yourself vulnerable, but you're also making yourself available, right? It's not just being vulnerable. You're making yourself available to have that relationship that they don't have in any other part of their life. This is one of the biggest things that I'm a proponent of, that you have to understand the relationships we're offering in a church community is of a character that's completely different than what's available for them at work, in their family, in any other social networks that they have going on is very different than one that's biblically centered, Jesus inspired, and that's something that's authentic and that's invested in the other person. So it's not about you. It's about them, and you're helping them by establishing that relationship.
I love it. I love it. Great, great perspective. You might want to rewind and take a few notes on that as you're going to talk to your pastor about vlogging, because that's a pushback I hear often. It's attention, you know, and I love a pastor who is intentionally thinking about humility. Like, you know, I'm going to press on a pastor that just wants to make themselves a celebrity, and lean on the side of humility, but you're missing a ministry opportunity too, as you overthink it. And I think your heart, if you're concerned about how people receive it, you're thinking right, but you still need to move forward, I believe.
Let me share a project that I'm actually involved in right now. I'm involved with a great charity locally here in Jersey called the Greater Newark Holiday Fund. And so I helped light up a podcast, and it's on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn, et cetera. And it's called the Holiday Heroes of Jersey podcast. Now, one of the things that you might think is that, you know, if the pastor is the host of that show, it's all about him. No, we're using this podcast to shine a light on the volunteers, on the board members, on the nonprofits that it supports, to lift those people up. You being the host, if you're the pastor that's running that podcast, is the familiar face, the friendly person that lets you have access to all these other stories and great people. And so that's just a very low-hanging fruit, easy way to start thinking about vlogging, where if you just had an episode each week and just introduced one other hero in your community, who's the unsung hero at your church? Who's the one that does the work behind the scenes that needs to be lifted up? Who's the one that needs to be encouraged day in, day out? That's part of your staff. If you have a vehicle like a vlog or a podcast to do that, that's something that's life-serving to the people that you feature, but also it brings your community together because it brings visibility to all the people that are involved, the whole body, right? The church is about the body. And so bringing visibility to all parts of the body is something that you will end up doing as, you know, as an outcome of that kind of thing.
I love it. I love it. Well, Kenny, as we begin to wrap up, if you would maybe speak to your creative process, are you thinking about the story you're going to tell the beginning of the day? Are you kind of letting it play out as your day goes on? Or how are you kind of crafting that story throughout each day?
Yeah, so I think this is one of the reasons why I wanted to jump into it, right? Because you cannot learn unless you're actually doing it. If you look at the early days of my Vlogmas series, it's a recap of the entire day. And so I was trying to be conscientious and just literally capturing video clips of everything just in case I was going to be able to use it.
Yeah.
What I started to do, and again, try to become more compact and economy of story, is that I'll continue to do that. But very quickly, I'll start to figure out, oh, here's one topic that I want to center around and share a story about that only. So yesterday, I went to the Apple store twice. My iPhone 10 was broken with my AirPods, so I had to go to the Genius Bar. Second is my daughter's MacBook Pro, the N key stuck, kept it in triple N's, and so we had to bring it in for repairs. It was part of the day, it was at the end of my day, but I realized walking into the store that, you know what, just this experience of walking in the store, the experience of the store and walking out could be one single episode. There's tons of other stuff that happened throughout my day, but I realized, okay, that's it. So then I just was more conscious in that moment of the experience of what would I like to share as I walk into the store, as I interact with the Genius Bar staff, as I come out, what are the things that I want to share in my story? So I was more active in that moment. And then later at night, at the end of the day, you know, I started to, when I throw up clips on my phone, that's when I start to pull the clips from there. So I'm starting to be, I guess my spidey senses come up where, hey, here's a storytelling moment. And then I'll start to become much more iterative in terms of what I'm trying to capture in that experience or moment. It might change by the end of Vlogmas, but that's how I'm starting to evolve my storytelling techniques.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. Well, Kenny, I appreciate you modeling how to use social media well and talking through the process. It's been fun for me. I can't wait for the rest of the Vlogmas series. I want to encourage everybody to go watch it on Facebook or YouTube and check out. But don't just watch what Kenny's doing. Learn from it and do it. Just copy him. You know, he's setting a model.
The first start in social media is to participate. Be a part of the story.
Be a part of the story. And I will start commenting, Kenny. That will be my promise to you on Vlogmas moving forward. Kenny, it was great talking to you. Thanks for joining us.
Vlogmas, day 13.